This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shavar Bolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. You know you 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. This is not a live show, but it's not a previously recorded show. It is a pre-recorded show for you today. I am still in Asia. As a matter of fact, I'm in Shanghai, China, today. And if I did the show at the time live, I would be doing it again 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's proven to be a little bit of a challenge. So I did this pre-recorded show because I think there's some interesting things that we can still share and talk about, and that's what I want to do today. So I won't give you any phone numbers to call because you won't be able to call, but I hope that you can appreciate the information that today. I hope that you guys are doing well. I have to tell you all, I've been so far to Hong Kong, to Japan, and now I'm in mainland China, and I have been absolutely fascinated by what I have seen. Now, I've been to all of these places before, actually, and I was absolutely impressed then, but this was in the 90s, and at that time, China was coming into its development. I mean, things were developing, but it has really taken off in a significant way. We'll talk about some of that another time, because I think there are many lessons, good and bad, about what is happening in Asia. I think the most outstanding thing that I observe in Asia, and this is in both China and Japan. As you know, Hong Kong is China, but used to be a colony of Great Britain at one point. But what I really find as a thread that weaves through what is happening in these Asian countries is the extensive discipline that people seem to demonstrate. Not everybody. I can't say that's everybody because I haven't seen everybody. I don't know what everybody's doing. But if, as you move through airports, as you move through workspaces, as you move through hotels, as you move through food markets on the street, the people have such a dedication to what they're doing. Now, I don't say that dedication in a romantic way. Okay, so let's be clear. I'm not saying that in a romantic way. I think that the necessity of working diligently to get things done in a place where you really have to push to make it happen, whether that's to eke out an existence or to improve your way of life or to meet the demands of the marketplace, there's a tremendous discipline that is shown. I was watching, obviously, I remind myself that when I go to a new place, do not bring your attitude of expecting what you would get at home. So I've been accustomed to, if I go to a hotel and turn on the television, if I'm in China, as an example, I'm going to see a lot of Chinese television. I'm going to see a lot of Chinese media in Chinese language. So I don't get shocked and be frustrated that I can't find any English. I just kind of absorb myself in the television programs of the country, even though I don't understand the language, and many times they don't have English captions. I just do so anyway. But I was watching an event. It seemed to be the opening of some conference, some meeting. Listen to me, guys. It was just fascinating to see how thousands and thousands of people sat in the stadium. You could have heard a pin drop. It was beautifully aesthetically laid out. And just people, everyone sitting there, just, you know, I mean, just so disciplined in their taking in of whatever was being done. And whoever was given a speech at the time was given a long speech, long speech. People just sat there listening. I don't know what is behind this level of discipline. I don't know if this is just a culture in terms of how things have been for thousands of years. I don't know if it's the political climate. I really don't know what it is. But it is something to behold, and that's for sure. And I suspect a part of why you're seeing China's doing some amazing things, right? In robotics, in car manufacturing, in electronics. I mean, they are doing some things, and why not? Most of the world has spent decades doing their thing in China, using China to do their thing. And so China, I suppose, has learned a great deal, picked up a great deal, and innovated a great deal, and now it's doing some incredible things. I've seen some massive, massive developments in this part of the world. And I keep saying China, both Japan and China are doing it. Anyways, we'll talk about some of that another time, because I want to extract and discuss with you some of those things and what they're doing. But so we're continuing our by-election watch. of course, you remember that the Golden Isles constituency was rendered vacant by the untimely representative of that constituency, Vaughan Miller. And therefore, the Prime Minister was compelled to call a by-election in that constituency. And now we have the Free National Movement's candidate, Brian Brown, Free Progressive Liberal Party's candidate, Darren Pickstock, the COI candidate, Brian Roll, and an independent candidate in Miss Butler, who are all contesting that seat. Now, you will recall I said before that candidates in a by-election ought to be careful what they say, because what they say gets scrutinized significantly because the tension is all on them. There is no other constituency election taking place. And so people are going to hear and listen to what they say. Well, maybe they're listening, maybe they're not listening. But remember that Darren Pickstock said he was the only person running in the race who could do the job. And we said, what does that mean? The job is going to the House of Assembly and representing your constituency in your debating, in your voting, and so forth and so forth. That's the job. These are the things about helping to get things done in the constituency. That could be a part of the job, as any leader would be for a people, but that's not the job. And so we said that, you know, these candidates ought to be careful in that regard. We mentioned that Brian Brown had indicated on that the job isn't to be on television, but to be present in the constituency. And we mentioned, no, as a matter of fact, the job is in the House of Assembly. And if you want people to know that you're in the House of Assembly doing the job on their behalf, you want to be televised, because it's gavel to gavel television in the House of Assembly, and you want them to be able to broadcast that so your constituents could know. So no, it's part of the job is you're going to be on television doing the job that you're doing. And you want your folks to know what you're doing. Brian Roll Brian Brown, the Free National Movement's candidate, is reported in the Guardian as having said a number of things in making his case to the voters of Golden Isles. One of the things he has said is that he never left Golden Isles. He kept a presence there. And he continuously reminds voters that he is a resident of Golden Isles. And so he knows them, he churches with them, he plays with them, and so forth. And I think those are strong cases to make for your constituency, right? He says, the PLP says, and I'm quoting, the PLP says, bringing you something new. They're bringing you something new in Golden Isles, but their candidate ain't one of us. One man named Darren Stock. He's been in the Senate for 4 years. Anybody ever heard of him? Anybody ever know him? Anybody ever know who he is? And then he goes on to say, he don't live here. He don't know us. He don't understand the community. He hasn't walked these streets or felt what we felt. He only showed up now because there is an election. So let me. So this is where I wanted to make a point. Listen to me. F&Ms, get mad if you want. Get mad if you want. So I hear what Mr. Brown is saying, and it can be a strong point. But remember, we said when Darren Pickstock talks about what hasn't been done in Golden Isles, what has the neglect that has happened in Golden Isles, and that he's going to come to bring results, we said that he was campaigning against and speaking against the former late representative of Golden Isles, Vaughn Miller. We said that because Vaughn Miller was a representative of the constituency for 10 years, almost 10 years, right? And the PLP government has been in power for the last 4 years. So we said he was really making a case against the late Vaughn Miller and against his own government. We said that, and that is true. Don't matter what the deputy prime minister has said in trying to soften that, it is true that in saying what he's saying, he has perhaps inadvertently criticized his late former colleague and his present government. Okay, that's what he's done. Well, if Mr. Brown says he don't live here, I can tell you he could say that about 90% or more of persons who have ever ran for an office in the Bahamas, who has ever held a seat in the House of Assembly in the Bahamas. He could say to them, he don't live here. Sir Lyndon Benton didn't live in his constituency. Hubert Ingraham don't live in his constituency. Didn't live in his constituency, even though he had ties there and a house there. He didn't live there. Perry Christie didn't live in his constituency. Michael Pintard doesn't live in his constituency. Brave Davis doesn't live in his constituency. And you could go on and on. I could call it for people who have been represent some constituency for decades and live in them constituency. So he could say that about many of his current colleagues who are running with him. So is he saying the member of parliament, the F&M candidate for Angleston can't do the job? He don't live in the constituency? he says, he don't know us. You could say that about many candidates parties put in constituencies. And with the greatest respect, no candidate knows everybody in the constituency. None. Not even many people in the constituency. I lived in my constituency all the time that I've ever ran or represented. I didn't know all those people. So if by Mr. Brown's qualifications, Ingram should not have put me in Fort Charlotte. I grew up in Grand Bahama. When I first ran in 97, Ingram tried to get me to run in Grand Bahama, not in the constituency I lived in. He tried to get me to run in East Grand Bahama, in High Rock, sorry. I didn't live down there. I don't really know those people, but he tried to do so. And then when he couldn't, and when it couldn't happen, he moved me to Fort Charlotte. I had to get to know those people and their issues and circumstances, right? They voted for me and they got me in. Frankie Wills was running in the same constituency at the time. He didn't live there, right? He would have had to do the same thing. And so would 90%+ of the people who run, who have won in constituencies. He says he hasn't walked these streets or felt what we felt. New candidates in new areas? Listen, that wouldn't be anything new, bro. Says he only showed up now because there's an election. Well, again, I only want to be honest, right? I'm being honest. This is true for many, many, many candidates. You know, it's not that you only show up because your party is seeking to get a representative assembly. And the party can sometimes get people who live in an area, but sometimes they can't. Very often they try to get people who may have some ties to the area. Most people only showing up because now I've been selected to represent the thing. See, what I'm saying is, if you make arguments like this, you got to be careful you're not making disqualifying arguments for your colleagues, because that's exactly what he would have been doing. Now, the only reason why this anger really played out is because what is true for the FNM is also true for the PLP, also true for the COI or the DNA. Most people are not going to be living in their constituencies, know the people in those constituencies, and will be learning many issues of those people as they move about in the constituencies. That's just the reality, right? And so candidates, you know, listen, some things may be sexy to say, but they may not be logical to say. And you have to be, you know, I am so interested in us bringing up the dialogue in our country. You know, I'm interested in our talking to voters in a way that makes the most sense, because if we can do this for long enough, maybe we can press for the level of dialogue and representation that will really, really stand out anywhere in the world. And so I was reading the story, I just thought it was a little bit curious. So brother in Golden Eyes for the FNM, brother in Golden Eyes for the PLP, Mr. Pickstar, you guys want to think again about some of the things you're saying. By the way, outside of that thing, Mr. Brown made a very strong case for himself, though, in pointing out what I think Mr. Pickstar points out has been, in quote, the neglect in Golden Isles and the lack of effective representation, as he indicates, the residents of voter Golden Isles of sort. So outside of that, you know, gotta be Brian Brown says Don Pickstock. So you know he's in the Senate. He has a big platform, and of course he likes to talk a lot. But what he didn't talk about was the unpaved roads in Golden Isles. Was Golden Isles on Mr. Pickstock's radar before when he went in the Senate? I don't know. He's making an argument, and Mr. Pickstock has the answer. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Remember, you can't call because this is not a live show. It is also not a previously recorded show. It is, in fact, a pre-recorded show all the way from Shanghai in China. That is where I am right now. You know, I went in a plaza in last night here in Shanghai. Man, let me tell you something. It must have been five stories high, massive plaza. Selling all kinds of things, has all kind of accommodations for children's play and adults play and all kind of stuff. It has an Aldi in it. Let me tell you something. It reminded me of why some people are moving abroad in different places with their retirement nest eggs to take advantage of the low cost of living in places where they're going, whether that's in China or somewhere in Asia or somewhere in Central America like Costa Rica or somewhere in Africa. Because I went and Aldi here in Shanghai. I got a pack of passion fruits. There's seven in the case. I got some cherry, what they call not cherry. Cherry persimmons. I got a big pack of grapes. I got some oranges. I got some lemons. I got honey. And I got some cherries, red cherries. You know how much I pay for all that? $26. $26. Now, you know, if I had bought that home, I was going to pay $60-something for that, right? $60-something. Maybe more. So I can see why people are doing what they're doing in trying to, moving into these lower cost jurisdictions. I was listening to the story of the nurse. Known as Sister Pearl, a 44-year-old nurse who was placed on a 10-day suspension for a video at the Princess Margaret Hospital. I saw the video. There's been some discussion about her suspension. I noticed the Minister of Health, Dr. Michael Davila, said he does not agree with the suspension, and that at this point, and that he wanted to look into the matter further, which is interesting. So a nurse makes public complaints about the place where she works. Some people say, well, what she said is, are all things already known? So what's the big deal if she's pointing them out? Yeah. But let's try to be objective in this, right? If a bank teller goes on social media and this bank, it does this, this, that, the next thing, and these are negative things said. It could be true, but they're negative things said. If someone who works at a food store does the same thing, if you owned a company, you, you, my listener, if you owned a company and one of your employees went public and said, you know, our company does this, that, and the next thing, and these are negative things, even if they're true, like, how would you respond to that? First, let me say, I imagine you would not think well about it. I imagine you might think this person don't need to be here no more. I imagine you might even fire the person. Sorry. Because obviously, they're not doing you any favors. So, chances are you might take exception to your employee having done so. Now, there is a difference between the private sector and the public sector, though, because the very nature of a public sector calls for transparency and accountability, calls for, one, the ability to see what is being done and the ability to and the willingness to respond to people making or raising questions about what is being done. So that things are public in the public sector is and should not be shocking or surprising. However, is it a good practice for public sector workers to social media and call out things? Is that a good practice? That's the question. Is it acceptable? Does it advance the interest of the public to do so? What does it accomplish? What does it achieve? Now, I say the answer to that depends on the circumstances, right? It depends on the circumstances. If this is being done because I have tried desperately to get the powers that be internally to address the issues, and they have not been responsive, the issues do put the public at risk. And so therefore, I'm going to take the avenue that I can take because nobody is moving. And this isn't surprising. Managers of public enterprises do not want sometimes to be called out when they're ineffective. They don't. And so they can sometimes do what they need. What is being done, and by managers, I mean you, the director of the managing director of the PSA, PHA, or you are some deputy or whatever it is. I'm not saying they're doing this. I'm saying it can happen. And political directorates don't want what might be embarrassing or disparaging things about what is happening under their charge to get out. And so they too can sometimes not be facilitated. And so a person working and having a genuine concern for an area might decide, okay, well, y'all don't want to do nothing about it. I'm going to tell the public. I'm going to tell the public what is happening. I can get behind that some. I can get behind that. But again, now, look at all the preconditions I set for this now. You've done all you had to do. You've done all you could do. And so forth and so forth. And this was the only way. And you're prepared, having taken that action, to suffer the consequences, because this is what civil disobedience is. It is not only that you take an action, but that you are prepared to accept the consequences of that action. So I could see someone deciding to do that once those other conditions are met. I don't think this should be the norm. I don't think that people should think that this should be a practice that every day people should go ahead. Because I can tell you, you can, in any organization, private or public, every day people could go out and talk, criticize the organization. There's no perfect organizations around. And organizations do some things that they need to improve. Sometimes they're trying to improve them. And so people getting out there and disparaging the organization or criticizing the organization or letting the organization's dirty laundry out can be problematic for the organization. But I can see that there can arise circumstances where someone could decide this is what I have to do. Now, was this one of them? I don't know. But I can see where if it's not one of them, where somebody might decide, where an internal set of policies might exist and decide, you have breached our policies, and therefore we will suspend you. I could see that. I could see that that's possible. But I don't know. The case that, well, all these things are known to the public isn't a case, because if they're known to the public and you're putting it out there, then what does that do? That doesn't achieve anything new or anything more, because you say it's already known to the public. So I don't think that's an argument at all. I think that the question is, what are the policies the organization has about these things? If there are none, don't suspend people, because you can't suspend people for a rule they didn't break. Secondly, what were the circumstances compelling someone to do this? Or were there compelling circumstances? And, you know, then on the basis of that, you can make some judgment or assessment. But, you know, I've kind of been pleasantly surprised that the political people didn't jump on it and jump on her. And so it's an interesting situation. You're listening to Z Live. We'll be back after this break.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Insurance made simple.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BEMC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads Alive, Bahari Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, finance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Hard work and opportunity are the keys to success. I started as a packing boy, a busboy, and a space cleaner. Now, I'm a businessman and a lawyer. As chairman of BAIC, I focus on creating new opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs and farmers. I'm Darren Pickstock, candidate for the PLP in Golden Isles. It would be an honor to work hard for Golden Isles and help with concerns, big and small. Let's work together to create new pathways to security and success for more Bahamians.
This has been a paid announcement by the Progressive Liberal Party.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We are with you on a pre-recorded show. Not a previously recorded show, but a pre-recorded show today. Just finishing up a bit on the... Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We are with you on a pre-recorded show. Not a previously recorded show, but a pre-recorded show today. Just finishing up involving the nurse. You know, I believe that it is generally accepted that our public health infrastructure system operations is fraught with challenges. Whether those challenges have to do with the actual physical infrastructure, particularly, not just particularly in New Providence, all over the Bahamas, or with the human resources, whether in the availability of sufficient skilled people in this area, nurses, doctors, technicians, and the like, whether it has to do with operational issues, whether it has to do with funding issues, our public health sector is fraught with challenges. And that's a problem for a country where so many people in the country have health issues, particularly chronic non-communicable disease issues. That's providing a lot of strain on the healthcare system, particularly in an area where, in a system where it has to deal with trauma in so many ways, whether those are gunshots or knifings or accidents and other emergencies. And these nurses and these doctors who are already in scarcity up against it in terms of significant demand being put on their resources, they're up against it. So let's not underestimate that. And the government of the Bahamas doesn't have the luxury to be suspending or firing public health workers as if they are in such great supply, because you're right now negotiating with the United States of America over your Cuban program to get nurses and doctors. So this strain on the system is significant. I'm not surprised. When Dr. Ronnie Knowles was the Minister of Health under the Ingram administration, the last Ingram administration, Dr. Knowles had a strategic plan for the hospital, the public sector in the Bahamas. He presented it. I recall it. It was, encompassed in that plan was the C block that had been constructed under the Ingram administration. I don't know if we spent $80-100 million constructing that block. They had the Princess Margaret Hospital. There were renovations done at the emergency rooms in the Grand Memorial Hospital, and consistent with that strategic plan. And in a country where stop, review, and cancel was coined by the Progressive Liberal Party against the Ingram administration when it came to office in 2007. How do I know? I was there. I was in that administration listening. I had to rebuke Standard & Poor's for adopting that language, that political language, in relation to things. We were reviewing some things, for sure. I don't know how many things were stopped. Some things were stopped, yeah, like City Market, the City Market plans that Mr. Christie had on Market Street. But this is something that happens when administrations change. But international rating agency are embracing such language. You know what they did though? They embraced that language. You know, anyway, let me leave that alone. But this phrase was coined by the Progressive Liberal Party. And the party won, succeeded the Ingram administration in office. And then what happened to the public hospital strategic plan? What happened? Somebody could even have said, listen, we looked at, we find it, or we, well, what happened to it? What happened to it? We're building a brand new hospital now. As somebody made the case, we're building a brand new hospital, we say, when there are existing requirements at the hospital. I noticed recently that the government announced some borrowings. Was it $80 million or thereabouts to now address these matters? I mean, this is like 4 years now, right? We're building a hospital, but we're going to pump $80 million now into that repair. Like, why could not there have been a continuum that allowed and permitted for the putting in place of some of these things that needed to be done? It's just striking to me that we do this, right? But we can get better. That's my hope. We'll get better. If the current administration stays in power, I hope it will get better. I really do. I really hope that they will see and do it, this kind of thing, better, right? If a new administration comes, I hope they'll do better. If they don't, there'll be people to drop licks on them just like they drop licks on everybody else, because we have to do better. See, you're talking about people's health, and I can tell you as a person who has had health issues, when your health fails you, there's nothing more desperately desired by you than to have your health restored. Whether you have cancer or whether you have some diabetes or you have some other ailment, you want to get better, because the absence of your body being disease-free and having the ability to fight disease effectively destroys the quality of life you have. It changes how you can interact with your family. It changes how you can perform your work. It changes how you can play. It changes how you perceive the world. And the last thing you want to do is interact with a public health system that is either incapable or inefficiently or ineffectively addressing your needs. Not because the people there don't want to. Listen, man, I've been to Princess Margaret Hospital, Grand Memorial Hospital on my own and on my own behalf and on the behalf of others, not just me alone. And I've seen these folks under very difficult circumstances trying to address the needs of their patients. So they want to do what they have to do. But that's not always possible when you don't have medical supplies or enough medical supplies. You don't have appropriate medical equipment or enough medical equipment. If you don't have enough personnel or adequate personnel, if you don't have practices and procedures that allow for the treatment and addressing of people's needs and concerns. No matter how much you want. Now, to be sure, everybody in the public health system ain't the same. Some nurses are, like, they go above and beyond. Some do great. Some, listen, I only waiting for my pension time to come. Similar to doctors and others. So I'm not glorifying that everybody's the same. So I know Bahamians have had encounters in the public health system with personnel, and it hasn't been a good one. But I think in general, the vast majority of those people are trying to do a great job, but in some instances, just hamstrung. And the hamstringing is, for some reason or the other, when we approach things in the public health and public sector, in many, many instances, it's like we don't know how to put first things first. Like there is a drive in us to do the big, 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 big thing. Because, you know, if you do this big, big, big thing, people say, oh, look what you did. And that's true. People will say, look what you did. But it is still true today what is said often. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the everyday interaction people have to make with our systems that gives them the impression nobody cares. Right? Yeah, the big thing might be being built, you know. But it's the small things. The road, the potholes in the road can't seem to be fixed effectively or on time or regularly. Right? You can't seem to get medicine in the hospital. You can't seem to get modern the significant. You can't seem to get less waiting time to do dialysis. You can't seem to be able to get an MRI done in a timely manner. You can't seem to get a surgery set up in a timely manner. These are the everyday things that even if you put up a big hospital, think about this, folks. If you build a brand new, spanking new hospital, all of the resource requirements of the existing hospital, the demands of that will be in the big hospital. You're going to need enough nurses. You're going to need enough doctors. You're going to need enough equipment. You're going to need enough money. You're going to need enough supplies. You're going to need all these things in there too. And so, you know, I have a business. I have a small business. It's a restaurant. You know, y'all know this. And the restaurant is not profitable. It hasn't been from I opened it, right? That's not unusual. It's, you know, you build businesses. But, you know, my attitude is, whatever happens, this restaurant has now become like a business case for me, a learning opportunity. How you do this, how you do that, how to succeed, how to, so you approach it in that way. And so now you see the things you have to do to supplement it, say the financial supplement, you see that as an investment in your own education. The public hospital, why not take the Rand Memorial Hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital, and make it your case study in how to get things right? Huh? Think about that for a moment. You have a present circumstance that may allow and permit you to get it right. And do it right. Get it right. And by getting it right, when you do build your grander thing, you'll know how to do it. You'll know some things you don't and didn't know before. That's how I see it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langyos. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
There is a new king in town, and the only place to find him is at Burger King Nassau. Introducing the Cheesy Ring King, featuring two juicy flame-grilled beef patties stacked with American cheese, crisp bacon, sweet barbecue sauce, honey mustard, and the crown jewel. Three golden mozzarella rings, a brioche bun. It's bigger, it's better, and it's cheesier. Want just cheese rings? They're available as a side too. Get the Cheesy Ring King at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations. Available for a limited time only.
If you come from the island, you know nothing is more important than family. I am Brian Brown, and the people of Golden Isles are my family. I'm proud to serve my neighbors and friends. I'm asking for your vote to be your next MP. I believe in showing up all the time, not just election time. So on November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we are going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Some people come and go. Others work for you every single day, whether through free classes for students or programs for the elderly. We've been building Golden Isles for years, while others waited for their time to shine. I'm Brian Brown, and I know it is something you earned. On November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we get brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
Craving something with bold flavors? Introducing the new Bacon Portobello Mushroom Melt, only at Wendy's. Enjoy our hot, juicy beef stacked with crispy applewood smoked bacon, savory sautéed portobello mushrooms, and drenched in our rich, melty cheddar cheese sauce, all on a warm, toasted bun. Gotta be craveable, gotta be Wendy's. Available for a limited time only.
Transform your home for less at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale now through Wednesday, December 24th. Enjoy 25% off house and spray paints plus 20% off paint supplies, except on net items. Our wide selection of paint colors is the perfect way to bring holiday cheer to your home. You'll also find the best selection of brushes, rollers, pans, glue, ladders, paint thinner, and more. So catch the holiday spirit and paint up for Christmas at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale, going on now through December 24th.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Again, thank you for joining us for the continuing discussion. As I indicated before, this is not a real-time live show, but it's not a previously recorded show. It's a pre-recorded show. I'm in Shanghai, in China, as I indicated, which would mean that in order for me to do these shows, I would have to be up 1 o'clock in the morning. I tried it, did it a couple of times. It's tough, it's rough, especially when you have events the following day. So I've had now. I suspect I'll be with you tomorrow, and I may do that 1 o'clock in the morning tomorrow live. But we'll see what happens. I have a question for you, though. It is a question for you. You're not going to be able to answer it for me today, not live on the show. But it is a question, right? And something to think about. So we have the by-election taking place in Golden Isles. We'll have general elections coming next year sometime for sure. So all the seats will be vacant and available for contesting. The Bahamas government provides, you, the taxpayers of the Bahamas, through your government, provides every member of parliament with $100,000 to determine how it will be used constituency for constituency projects. $100,000. That is $500,000, $500,000 in one term, because you get it five times. In the big scheme of things, where you might be talking about roadworks, building docks, bridges, clinics, hospitals, it's not a lot of money. $500,000, $500,000 is not a lot of money. But doing things in your constituency so that your constituents might feel, see your impact, that's a good chunk of change, $500,000. So, for instance, as a member of parliament, I wouldn't look at the monies as $100,000 every year. I would look at it as a $500,000 allocation given over 5 years so that, with my constituents as an example, I could determine a project or set of projects, the value of which would come to $500,000 that we will do that we think is meaningful for our constituency. $500,000. So when we were in office, started this program of this $500,000 allocation, that is the Hubert Ingraham administration started it. And that was in 2007, that was started. You didn't get $500,000 sent to your account. You didn't, that wasn't what happened. So we would have to determine our projects. So for instance, I determined to do some roof repair work in the Marco City constituency because some people had had, just because of hurricanes, and these were so elderly people who could not afford, or disabled people who could not afford. And so I would allocate a certain amount for that. Now, what that meant was I had to go to a contractor, and I had to get the contractor to quote a contractor or contractors. There was no requirement to do competitive bidding, but you could go to the contractor and you could get a quote. And once the contractor gave you the quote, you then would, if you agreed, you would say send that to the Ministry of Finance, and the Ministry of Finance, once the work was completed and the work had to be, you know, certified as completed, I had to use Public Works or one of them, and then you go and you get, the contractor is paid directly from the Ministry of Finance. If you wanted to purchase something for your constituency, maybe something, some park equipment or something of that nature, you have to do is go get the quote for the thing, and then the government, the Ministry of Finance, would pay the vendor for that thing. So no cash money ever came to a member of parliament's account when we were doing it, right? I wanted to do, there was, because of the hurricane, a number of the churches had come to be called upon by residents for support. One of the churches, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, created a pantry. And so one of the things I did with some of that was, the funds was to contribute to the pantry. Also, I created a scholarship program for constituents at the University of the Bahamas so that we would give out, I think it was $5,000 in any given year, $1,000 apiece to five eligible students. We did computer classes, so we bought computers. We engaged somebody to teach classes. We had an 89-year-old priest who was the oldest person who actually took classes. We set up a lending library. So these were the kinds of things we did, right? This was new. This was early. So you were just trying to do projects and get them out quickly to try and do something, have an impact, right? Getting $500,000 in 5 years. I mean, can you imagine the things you could think to do? $500,000 is a lot of money to do a project. And so you could, the infrastructural things you could do, as in park development things you could do, there are programmatic things you could do. I mean, you could build a building in some of these islands or family islands and put community centers in them for $500,000, right? And remember, these aren't, so even if you didn't get to finish all the phases of a project and you lost office, as an example. Well, when the next person came, then they could continue with that project, right? They don't spend all their money on it, but they could do some more things because it really becomes property of the government of the Bahamas, right? Not a personal project. You can't buy the land in your name. So there are all kinds of things that could be done. Now, $500,000 spent in 39 constituencies. That's like $2 million almost. I'm wondering. As you move through your constituencies, you live in a Golden Isles, Golden Gates, Carmichael, Kalani, Baintown, Grantstown, East Grand Bahama, Central Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, Marco City, Pine Ridge, Long Island, Cat Island, Michael, Andros, North and South. As you move through these constituencies, seeing evidence of the use of, by now, $400,000 worth of distribution by you to members of parliament for the benefit of your constituents. Are you seeing that? And given this massive opportunity that members of parliament have, why would there not be floods of reports, floods of Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, social media, mainstream media, reports of this is what I did with $400,000. Look. I mean, honestly, I, from no one, FNMPLP, no one. I'm not saying nothing was done because as I understand it, every member of parliament has to report on what was done with the tranche of monies they got, the $25,000 they got in a quarter, before they can get any money for the next quarter. But I'm saying this is for the constituents though. And again, I have not seen it. I'm king in the world, so I'm asking you, like, have you seen the evidence of this? When this program was first started in by Ingram administration, a number of members of parliament hadn't spent a nickel or a dime in 5 years. Can you imagine that? Someone gives you $250,000 in 5 years to do something in your constituency. Constituents are always complaining. All these members of parliament ain't doing nothing. They don't do nothing for you. They don't have nobody. They get your vote and then they forget you. But you now get $250,000 in the first instance, $500,000 now. The $500,000 started under Dr. Menace. And you let the money sit down? There's not a possible chance I would let it. When I got mine, I was trying to get some more money. Well, I was the Minister of State for Finance responsible for the programs. I couldn't give myself no more money. But you can do things. You can have an impact. $500,000? You could patch roads in your constituency with $500,000. You could patch roads? Yeah. You might want to use your money for that, but you could do so. You can put up parks. You could repair parks. You could renovate parks with that kind of money, right? With that kind of money, you can have sensible, significant cleanup campaigns that could employ, engage people. I did some of that with the money. Yeah, engage some young men so they could not be so idle in the constituency. Yeah, you could do that. And you can do that, right? I mean, $500,000. And so I'm still curious as to reporting on its use. And in this regard, no one comes with any beating of their chest to do, because again, I haven't heard on the FNM side, I haven't heard on the PLP side. I do believe that there are things being done, but why they are not the subject of higher profile reporting, I do not know. As a matter of fact, you could use some of your own money to get a report done on how you use to spend the money. That would be appropriate. Ministry of Finance say, well, you don't even have to ask the Ministry of Finance. They're putting the money on your account. And I can't see them having an objection to me producing a colorful, fulsome report on how I spend the money. Right? And you don't have to pay for it yourself. You can get it produced by people who do it professionally. Why shouldn't you? And you could distribute it, get copies, or you could do it digitally and get them distributed to your constituents so that they know. 500 $1,000. When we did the project, at first we put some restrictions on it. We said, you know, some of the monies could be spent. For instance, you could give donations to groups. So, but that could only be a certain amount. The intention was for this to be spent on physical infrastructural projects in your constituency. That would most of it had to be spent on. I don't know what the project now, so I don't know. But if there are no such guidelines, now you have all kinds of discretion to use the funding for without any challenges from the Ministry of Finance. You could feed people. You could train people. You could provide aid and assistance to people for home repair and things like that. You could use the monies to set up people and little businesses for people. Like you could have someone who wants to get into landscaping, requiring the equipment for landscaping. You might have somebody who does carpentry work but needs some help with tools and stuff like that. So you could do little micro projects that help people. By the way, so I'm seeing in Fort Charlotte, I've seen photos of Sebastian. He's providing stuff to business people, small business people, and under the caption, I saw, we're teaching people to fish and not just giving them fish. And I wondered about that to this extent. I think to help small businesses operate and whatever is a great and fantastic. But the truth of the matter is, it's normally better help for startups. Because a startup person doesn't have anything, may not have enough. And so you help somebody with a startup, right? That's giving them, teaching them to fish. But if you are operating and I give you something this one time to help with your operation, that's not empowering, because if I have a structural problem with my business where it is not sustaining itself and it's not, if you ain't helping me for the continuation of the business until I actually get to the place where I don't need your help, you ain't teaching me to fish. You giving me fish, right? So, because you know, it's a one-time something. And I don't know very many businesses other than the startup phase or maybe at some critical phase in operation to get them to the break-even point, who benefit from a one-time anything from anybody. So I understand the logic. I mean, I understand the sentiments. But listen, man, I didn't tell you all before. Y'all are not talking to people who can't think. Nobody, DNA, COI, some people can think. Now, to the person who gets something, I'm sure they're not complaining. I'm sure they're grateful, etc. But what I don't want in this country, I don't want us to be selling dreams rather than doing things that actually produce sustainable. That's what's important. Because if we keep doing in this country what we have been doing, this is not new, but we are too oftentimes we do things for performance. But we don't do things for production. And so the performance things last only a short while, the production things last longer. So people get all excited, and then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, they're right in the same dump, same critical situation, same unfortunate circumstance, trying to make it and survive again. And all that does is discourages people, and it causes them to lose hope and confidence in the institutions. See, the institutions of the state and the country are more important than simply the personalities who pass through those institutions. People have to have confidence in the institutions, and the personalities in the way they perform in those institutions can help do that. Right? So these members, they can do things to empower people. But again, I don't know about you, but the reporting is not very visible. So far, maybe at the end of the term, we'll see some glossy reports from these members of parliament about what they've done with that money. I'd be curious to see what was done. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
If you come from the island, you know nothing is more important than family. I am Brian Brown, and the people of Golden Isles are my family. I am proud to serve my neighbors and friends. I'm asking for your vote to be your next MP. I believe in showing up all the time, not just election time. So on November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we are going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National
Great
Movement.
News! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe in all seasons.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Some people come and go. Others work for you every single day, whether through free classes for students or programs for the elderly. We've been building Golden Isles for years, while others waited for their time to shine. I'm Brian Brown, and I know it is something you earn. On November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we're going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
This is Guardian Radio, to the minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this beautiful Monday afternoon. Again, thank you for joining us for the continuing discussion. As I indicated before, this is not a real-time live show, but it's not a previously recorded show. It's a pre-recorded show. I'm in Shanghai, in China, as I indicated, which would mean that in order for me to do these shows, I would have to be up 1 o'clock in the morning. Tried it, did it a couple of times. It's tough, it's rough, especially when you have events the following day. So I've had to resort to this for now. I'll do tomorrow, and I may do that 1 o'clock in the morning tomorrow live, but we'll see what happens. I have a question for you though. I mean, it is a question for you. You're not gonna be able to answer it for me today, not live on the show. But it is a question, right? And something to think about. So we have the by-election taking place in Golden Isles. We'll have general elections coming next year sometime for sure. So all the seats will be vacant and available for contesting. The Bahamas government provides, you the taxpayers. Can I say that again? You, the taxpayers of the Bahamas, through your government, provides every member with $100,000 to determine how it will be used in the constituency for constituency projects. $100,000. That is $500,000, $500,000 in one term, because you get it five times. In the big scheme of things, where you might be talking about roadworks, building docks, bridges, clinics, hospitals, it's not a lot of money. $500,000, $500,000 is not a lot of money. But doing things in your constituency so that your constituents might feel, see your impact, that's a good chunk of change, $500,000. So, for instance, as a member of parliament, I wouldn't look at the money every year. I would look at it as a $500,000 allocation given over 5 years so that, with my constituents as an example, I could determine a project or set of projects, the value of which would come to $500,000 that we will do, that we think is meaningful for our constituency. $500,000. So when we were in office and we started this program of this $500,000 allocation, that is the Hubert Ingraham administration started it. And that was in 2007, that was started. You didn't get $500,000 sent to your account. You didn't, that wasn't what happened. So we would have to determine our projects. So for instance, I determined to do some roof repair work in the had roof damages because of hurricanes. And these were so elderly people who could not afford, or disabled people who could not afford. And so I would allocate a certain amount for that. Now, what that meant was I had to go to a contractor and I had to get the contractor to quote a contractor or contractors. There was no requirement to do competitive bidding, but you could go to the contractor and you could get a quote. And once the contractor gave you the quote, you then would, if you agreed, you would say, send that to the Ministry of Finance, and the Ministry of Finance, once the work was completed and the work had to be, you know, certified as completed, I had to use Public Works or one of them, and then you get, the contractor is paid directly from the Ministry of Finance. If you wanted to purchase something for your constituency, maybe something, some park equipment or something of that nature, what you would have to do is go get the quote for the thing, and then the government, the Ministry of Finance, would pay for that thing. So no cash money to a member of parliament's account when we were doing it, right? I wanted to do, there was, because of the hurricane, a number of the churches had come to be called upon by residents for support. One of the churches, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, created a pantry. And so one of the things I did with some of that was, the funds was to contribute to the pantry. Also, I created a scholarship program for constituents at the University of the Bahamas so that we would give out, I think it was $5,000 in any given year, $1,000 apiece to five eligible students. We did computer classes, so we bought computers. We engaged somebody to teach classes. We had an 89-year-old priest who was the oldest person who actually took the classes. We set up a lending library. So these were the kinds of things we did, right? This was new. This was early. So you were just trying to do projects and get them out quickly to try and do something, have an impact, right? But if I were getting $500,000 in 5 years, I mean, can you imagine the things you could think to do? $500,000 is a lot of money to do a project. And so you could, the infrastructural things you could do, as in park development things you could do, there are programmatic things you could do. I mean, you could build a building in some of these islands or family islands and put community centers in them for $500,000, right? And remember, these aren't personal projects. So even if you didn't get to finish all the phases of a project and you lost, well, when the next person came, then they could continue with that project, right? They don't spend all their money on it, but they could do some more things because it really becomes property of the government of the Bahamas, right? Not a personal project. You can't buy the land in your name. So there are all kinds of things that could be done. Now, $500,000 spent in 39 constituencies. That's like $2 million almost. I'm wondering. As you move through your constituencies, you live in a Golden Isles, Golden Gates, Carmichael, Kalani, Baintown, Grantstown, East Grand Bahama, Central Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, Marco City, Pine Ridge, Long Island, Cat Island, Michael, Andros, North and South. As you move through these constituencies, are you seeing evidence of the use of, by now, $400,000 worth of distribution by you to members of parliament for the benefit of your constituents? Are you seeing that? And given this massive opportunity that members of parliament have, would there not be floods of reports, floods of Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, social media, mainstream media, reports of this is what I did with $400,000. Look. I mean, honestly, from no one, I'm not saying nothing was done, because as I understand it, every member of parliament has to report on what was done with the tranche of money they got in the quarter before they can get any money for the next quarter. But I'm saying this is for the constituents though. And again, I have not seen it. I don't catch everything in the world. So I'm asking you, like, have you seen the evidence of when this program was first started in by Ingram administration? A number of members of parliament hadn't spent a nickel or a dime in 5 years. Can you imagine that? Someone gives you $250,000 in 5 years to do something in your constituency. Constituents are always complaining. All these members of parliament ain't doing nothing. They don't do nothing for you. They don't have nobody. They get your vote and then they forget you. But you now get $250,000 in the first instance, $500,000 now. The $500,000 sat under. And you let the money sit down? There's not a possible chance I would let any such money sit down. Be honest with you. When I got mine, I was trying to get some more money. Well, I was the Minister of State for Finance responsible for programs. I couldn't give myself no more money. But you can do things. You can have an impact. $500,000? You could patch roads in your constituency with $500,000. You could patch roads. Yeah. You might want to use your money for that, but you could do so. You can put up parks. You could repair parks. You could renovate parks with that kind of money, right? With that kind of money, you can have sensible, significant cleanup campaigns that could employ, engage people. I did some of that. Did some of that with the money. Yeah, engage some young men so they could not be so idle in the constituency. Yeah, you could do that and at the same time clean it up. You can do that, right? I mean, $500,000. And so I'm still curious as to reporting on its use. And in this regard, no one comes with any beating of their chest to do, because again, I haven't heard on the FNM side, I haven't heard on the PLP side. I do believe that there are things being done, but why they are not the subject of higher profile reporting, I do not know. As a matter of fact, you could use some of your own money to get you to spend the money. That would be appropriate. Why would the Ministry of Finance say, well, you don't even have to ask the Ministry of Finance, they're putting the money on your account? And I can't see them having an objection to me producing a colorful, fulsome report on how I spend the money. Right? And you don't have to pay for it yourself. You can get it produced by people who do it professionally. Why shouldn't you? And you could distribute it, get copies, or you could do it digitally and get them distributed to your constituents so that they know. $500,000. When we did the project, at first, we put some restrictions on it. We said, you know, some of the monies could be spent, for instance, you could give donations to groups. So, but that could only be a certain amount. The intention was for this to be spent on physical, structural projects in your constituency. That's what most of it had to be spent on. I don't know what the guidelines are for the project now, so I don't know. But if there are no such guidelines, now you have all kinds of discretion to use the funding for without any challenges from the Ministry of Finance. You could feed people. You could train people. You could provide aid and assist people for home repair and things like that. You could use the monies to set up little businesses for people. Like you could have someone who wants to get into landscaping, requiring the equipment for landscaping. You might have somebody who does carpentry work but needs some help with tools and stuff like that. So you could do little micro projects that help people. By the way, so I'm seeing in Fort Charlotte, I've seen photos of Sebastian. He's providing stuff to business people, small business people. Under the caption, I saw, "We're teaching people to fish and not just giving them fish." And I wondered about that to this extent. I think to help small businesses operate and whatever is a great and fantastic thing to do. But the truth of the matter is, it's normally better help for startups. Because a startup person doesn't have anything, may not have enough. And so you help somebody with a startup, right? That's giving them, teaching them to fish. But if you are operating and I give you something this one time to help with your operation, that's not empowering, because if I have a structural problem with my business where it is not sustaining itself, and it's not, if you ain't helping me for the con- for the continuation of the business until I actually get to the place where I don't need your help. You ain't teaching me to fish. You giving me fish, right? So, because you know, it's a one-time something, and I don't know very many businesses other than the startup phase, or maybe at some critical phase in their continuing operation to get them to the break or break even or past that break even point, who benefit from a one-time anything from anybody. So I understand the logic. I mean, I understand the sentiments, but listen, man, I didn't tell y'all before. Y'all are not talking to people who can't think. Nobody, FNMPLB, DNA, COI, some people can think. Now, to the person who gets something, I'm sure they're not complaining. I'm sure they're grateful, etc. But what I don't want in this country, I don't want us to be selling dreams rather than doing things that actually produce sustainable results. I mean, because that's what's important. Because if we keep doing in this country what we have been doing, this is not new, but we do things for performance, but we don't do things for production. And so the performance things last only a short while, the production things last longer. So people get all excited, and then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, they're right in the same dump, same critical situation, same unfortunate circumstance, trying to make it and survive again. And all that does is discourages people, and it causes them to lose hope and confidence in the institutions. See, the institutions of the state and the country are more important than simply the personalities who pass through those institutions. People have to have confidence in the institutions, and the personalities in the way they perform in those institutions can help do that. Right? So these members of parliament have this money. They can do things to empower people. But again, I don't know about you, but the reporting is not very visible so far. Maybe at the end of the term, we'll see some glossy reports from these members of parliament about what they've done with that money. I'd be curious to see what was done. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Great news. Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, batteries, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5262.
If you come from the island, you know nothing is more important than family. I am Brian Brown, and the people of Golden Isles are my family. I'm proud to serve my neighbors and friends. I'm asking for your vote to be your next MP. I believe in showing up all the time, not just election time. So on November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we are going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
Craving something with bold flavors? Introducing the new Bacon Portobello Mushroom Melt, only at Wendy's. Enjoy our hot, juicy beef stacked with crispy applewood smoked bacon, savory sautéed portobello mushrooms, and drenched in our rich, melty cheddar cheese sauce, all on a warm, toasted bun. Gotta be craveable, gotta be Wendy's. Available for a limited time only.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates
as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Transform your home for less at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale now through Wednesday, December 24th. Enjoy 25% off house and spray paints plus 20% off paint supplies, except on net items. Our wide selection of paint colors is the perfect way to bring holiday cheer to your home. You'll also find the best selection of brushes, rollers, pans, glue, ladders, paint thinner, and more. So catch the holiday spirit and paint up for Christmas at Kelly's House and Homes Holiday Paint Sale, going on now through December 24th.
Some people come and go. Others work for you every single day, whether through free classes for students or programs for the elderly. We've been building Golden Isles for years, while others waited for their time to shine. I'm Brian Brown, and I know it is something you earned. On November 24th, vote FNM, because this time around, we're going with Brian Brown.
Paid for by the Free National Movement.
This-